Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us tonight comes from both readings that you heard previously, and I'd just like to remind you of how the Gospel of Matthew ends, starting here at verse 73. After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. This is God's word. Have you heard of a man named Arthur Blessett? His last name is spelled B-L-E-S-S-I-T-T. Some of you have. In 1968, he started carrying a 12-foot cross with a wheel at one end across the United States, and he hasn't stopped ever since. In the years that followed, he's walked approximately 43,000 miles, both here in the U.S. and throughout the world, on what the Guinness Book of World Records calls the world's longest pilgrimage. He's 78 years old this year. He's still at it. He does it simply to glorify Jesus and spread the gospel to whoever happens to see him passing by on the road. He has no bodyguards, just his wife Denise in a truck with supplies. On his website, he writes, "I have learned not to follow the normal, but to be willing to step out and break through the walls that have been holding back the bold and daring in their journey of following Jesus and his radical callings." Is that how you think of your life with Jesus? As a bold and daring radical calling? Or, truth be told, do you play it pretty close to the vest when it comes to expressing your faith? Although we may feel inadequate in our witness, although we may fear others' opinions of us, Jesus can replace those feelings with boldness and commitment as we remember him. I've never been, but I'm told that in Jerusalem, there are certain places of worship where the incense is very heavy. It's thick when you enter and while you're there and when you leave. As worshipers return to their homes or meet friends on the street, other people can tell where they've been just by the scent. Can people tell where you've been and where you're going? Does your life give off the scent of a holy God? One more story. A truck driver once showed up in a pastor's office to tell that pastor about a man who lived in his apartment complex that happened to go to the church where that pastor was serving. And the truck driver came in order to say that because of that man's faith, the man who lived in the same apartment complex as him, he wanted to join the church. And he told the pastor, "That guy who lives near me, he has a faith to live by. And I want that faith." Can people say that about you? They could have said it about the Apostle Peter. Peter had been called out of a life of fishing, the Sea of Galilee, and called into a life of preaching the good news about Jesus. Examples of his preaching and teaching are all throughout the New Testament, such as in the words of today's first reading, where he goes through that list of qualities faith and virtue and knowledge and self-control, ending up with brotherly affection and love. And he writes, if these qualities are yours and increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the tremendous content there. You imagine the apostle standing up and preaching that message. Or imagine the same apostle standing up on Pentecost and preaching an incredibly developed Christ-centered sermon, the results of which were thousands of people coming to faith and being baptized in one day. Peter clearly had a faith to live by. His life and witness gave off the scent of a holy God. But it wasn't always that way. Before Peter became the power proclaimer, he had been the courtyard coward. It only took a couple inquisitive servant girls to get Peter to lose his cool, not to mention his confession of faith. Out of a sense of what? Fear? Self-preservation? He denied even knowing who Jesus was. Now, Jesus had predicted it and tied that prediction to a real-life cue so that when the rooster crowed, Peter was instantly crushed by the awareness of his own sin. The man's man who could pull nets full of fish to shore all by himself had wilted under the pressure. I'm guessing he shocked himself with how fully and quickly he turned away from pledging his allegiance to Jesus. Have you ever had a moment where it's almost like you're standing outside yourself, watching and listening to yourself, thinking, I can't believe I just said that? But when we examine ourselves that way, I think we have to admit we can be a lot like Peter. We can live lives that say, I don't know the man. When that happens, we need to get back on solid ground with God. It's fear that makes us quiet Christians, but Jesus can replace that fear with boldness and commitment. It kind of comes down to this. If Jesus really means good news to us, we're going to share him. It's just that simple. Many preachers and their listeners never get beyond talking about the need to share the good news. Everyone nods their heads and says, yeah, I should witness. I should witness more. I should witness boldly. And then they go home and nothing happens. Now, I'm not saying we need to imitate other religious groups that go door to door up and down the street. I'm not saying that you have to sit in a class and learn the right way to witness to Jesus Christ. But what I am saying is this. If Jesus is good news to you, more than that, if you've been led by the Word and the Spirit to the conclusion that you owe your very life to Jesus, then how can you not share him? I mean, sure, if Jesus is to you a good moral teacher, a good example to follow, a nice guy with interesting stories, then sure, sharing him is negotiable. But if in your heart of hearts you know Jesus snatched you out of the jaws of hell to make you his own child, You're going to sing that message. You're going to work it into as many conversations as you can. It's going to be the song of your heart. People will see Jesus in you. He'll show up naturally in your conversation. You would never have a problem talking about the person who saved you. And that's Jesus. And when you stop to think about it, sharing Jesus is just not that difficult or complicated. In a book called Why People Join the Church, an author by the name of Edward Rauch lists a number of reasons why people find a place in a church. And in that list, he includes things like the search for community, a personal crisis gets them through the doors, a journey towards the truth that they're personally on, a church program or special event got them to come, even the influence of a pastor, believe it or not. But do you know the number one reason people come to a church and stay? A friend or family member invited them. That's it. And that's not just Rauch's book. That's poll after poll and study after study. The number one reason people come to church and stick is that someone cared enough to say, "Would you come? I'll go with you. Let's go together." Your witness can be renewed when you begin to see yourself as an inviter. Maybe that describes who you already are. Some of you, I know it's who you already are. The invitation to come and see God at work, to taste and see that the Lord is good, is a great gift. And so I ask you, is there anyone, is there someone right now who springs to mind that you can invite, that you can give that gift to? The will to do this, the ability to do this, comes from the Holy Spirit. If you're going to invite people to come meet Jesus, it's because the Holy Spirit has gotten into you. And so we need to plug into the Holy Spirit. And again, that's not complicated at all. It's as simple as plugging into a wall socket, except in this case, we're plugging into the Word of God. We're plugging into the places where Jesus is, at His table. Every time we receive His body and blood with the bread and wine, we're plugging in to the source of the Spirit, and He can come into us and give us what we need in order to be an inviter. One last story. Dr. Howard Kelly was a very well-known surgeon in the Baltimore area, and he was well-known for appearing with a very fresh rosebud on his lapel. I mean, it always looked like it had just been plucked off of the plant. He delighted in sort of presenting that to people as he met them. When people asked what the secret of the rose was, he would open up his lapel and show them. The secret was that the stem of the rosebud ran down into a little glass vial that was filled with water. So, of course, that rosebud stayed pretty healthy looking for a long time. And then Kelly would tell those who asked that the secret of living a fragrant Christian life lies in drawing refreshment from the water, the living water of Jesus Christ. Tonight I want you to know that the water of life is yours, and it always has been in your baptism. So invite someone you know to that same refreshment in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we humbly pray tonight for a renewal of our witness. Send your Holy Spirit to us, Lord, through the gospel. And first of all, show us how great the gift is that we have been given. If Jesus is just a good teacher or an interesting philosopher, that's one thing. But if we understand Jesus to be our Savior, who reached down into the depths of hell to pluck us out and to set us on safe ground, and not only to do that, but to give us the robe and the sandals and the ring and the party of the prodigal son, well, that's an entirely different story, and that's what he's done for each of us. By faith, we know this to be true, and so we pray, Lord, restore to us the joy of your salvation, so that the delight of our heart is telling Jesus' story. In so doing, we are convinced that this world will change. It will become a different place as people hear about Jesus' power, his power to save and help, a power that's displayed not in great might or military strength, but in laying down his own life on the cross, letting his life ebb away so that we could have the knowledge that we are saved and fully redeemed. Again, Lord, impress this story on our hearts and may it be on our lips. Give us every opportunity to do so. We pray this in your holy name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.